Friends, I would invite you to turn your attention to our second scripture reading. You'll find it in the Pew Bible or on the screens. We are turning our attention to Psalm chapter 26. And let's hear in these words God's word to us. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I've always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, as we gather as a small part of that great congregation, may we this day hear your word. Might we encounter the living Christ. And in that, might we be convicted, transformed, and encouraged that we might reflect the goodness of the one we meet. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There was once a Christian who complained, God never answers my prayers. I pray every day, and yet nothing comes of it. His friend asked him, have you ever prayed for patience? He said, every day. Without a second thought, the friend pointed out, sounds to me like a prayer answered. There are some Christians' prayers that we should be very careful in making. I can count in my own life the number of times when my prayers for peace were immediately followed by seasons of stress. Or when I prayed, God, help me be grateful. And then I seemed to go through seasons of great want. The Creator God seems to have an omniscient gift at seeing the heart behind our prayers and responding to our true needs instead of just our fleeting desires. That is why, by way of confession today, I find the Psalms so intimidating. Take this morning's Psalm of David, for instance. It literally only takes David 10 words, and he asks God to vindicate him and to see that he's led a blameless life. David doesn't have time for timidity. He has no interest in beating around the prayer bush. He takes a dump truck and drives right through it. There's no flowery, beautiful, prayerful introduction. How are you doing today, God? I'm so grateful for your blessings today, God. Please be with my Aunt Susie, God. No, David literally starts with, God, vindicate me. I kind of want to sort of sidle over to David, put my hand around his shoulder, if he didn't terrify me, which he does. And I'd say to him, David, this is a scary prayer. You might as well put a target on your head. Hey, God, vindicate me? Do you really want to point that out? Is this if you're telling God, here I am, test me, see if my faith holds up. I've read the book of Job, and I know you don't want to go there. To his credit, David has no time for shallow spiritual language or that deep preacher's voice, God, we beseech thee. No, David is courageous. He's brazen. He's almost foolishly honest, and he starts right at the beginning. And this, friends, is what we learn when we learn about prayer from a warrior. David doesn't have time for spiritual games or politics. He starts with the problem And he trusts that God will bring the solution. Because for all of the things that David gets wrong, and boy, does he have a long list, he gets prayer right. Because his cry for vindication, it isn't about David. He says, "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and not faltered." You see, even in his cry for God to vindicate him, to call him just and innocent, David claims his trust in the Lord. Could you make that prayer? Has your trust in the Lord been unfaltering? Have you never doubted? Have you never been drawn away by some fleeting temptation, by money or possessions or achievement? Have you never given in to doubt in the midst of soul-crushing grief or seemingly endless pain? Consider for a moment how daring, how dangerous of a prayer it is to invite God to test, to try, to examine our hearts and minds. It's like the CEO of Enron inviting the FTC, "Review our books." They're not going to like what they find there. David makes it clear this prayer is not about him. It's about God. He says, "For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love, your unfailing love, and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness." Let's not miss what's happened. Three verses, David has cried out to God, "Vindicate me. I have always relied upon your faithfulness." It isn't about David, what he's done or hasn't done. It is about the one who David trusts. Likewise, friends, I ask you this morning, who do you trust? Can you join David's chorus? And can you honestly call upon the living God to examine your heart? Do you sincerely believe in God's unfailing love, his unending faithfulness? Because far too many of us, friends, believe in a distorted God. For some of us, God is a tyrant who's just waiting to impose rule. For others, God's a distant father who we can never quite make happy. For others, God is nothing other than an impersonal force, and we just need to try to understand and move on. David shows us it is entirely something else to put your entire hope and trust and faith in a God who you believe beyond doubt that you can trust. Because if you can trust God, truly trust God, then, friends, you can start your prayers with daring requests. "Vindicate me, O God. Redeem me, Heavenly Father. Convict me, gracious Judge." You can't make these prayers to an angry God. You can't be this kind of vulnerable with a disapproving Father. These prayers can only arise from a heart that is truly settled in the confident awareness that God can be trusted. I ask, friends, who among us doesn't struggle to trust God? Who doesn't come to God with some timidity and fear? Who is willing to stand up in our midst this morning and cry out to the perfect judge of all things like David did, "I lead a blameless life"? I say only the one who is courageous enough to let go of their own life and invite the living God to deliver me and ultimately be merciful to me. Friends, David's courage is built upon his steadfast assurance that God is not only faithful, and this is critical, he is merciful. In other words, God isn't interested in the outcome of our performance, but rather the orientation of our hearts. We learn from the warrior David that our prayers can both be strong and courageous if only we recognize that God measures the content of our heart, that he gives us mercy even when we don't deserve it. Christian, this morning, may you be reminded, you can trust God. You can trust the one who created all things and called them good. You can trust the one who made an everlasting covenant with Abraham. You can trust Moses' mighty God. You can trust David's merciful judge. You can trust Jesus the Christ, who took on flesh and bore the deep brokenness of humanity upon the cross. This morning, allow me to invite you to become more courageous in your prayers this week. Consider this an invitation to stand firmly and confidently before the throne of grace and speak your mind. Trust in the God who meets you there. Trust God deeply and dare greatly in your prayers that God may show you his faithfulness. Friends, dare God to examine you, to measure your thoughts, to hold your feelings, to bear your struggles. Because if we honestly ask God to examine us, we will ultimately discover his mercy. With daring prayers, we discover the depth of God's patience, his faithfulness, and his mercy. And we discover that God can be trusted and that God doesn't require timid prayers, but those who come to him courageously. Don't get me wrong. I don't pretend to you this morning that this is easy. In fact, I should put this on repeat daily. It will be for me a part of my own personal spiritual growth for the rest of my life. Yet, may we this day join our hearts with David. May we make our own marching cry, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. And there, let us state confidently that our feet stand on level ground. And in the great congregation, we will praise the Lord. On this day of all days, it is good to be reminded of the great congregation where we gather. We so easily make that congregation our building. The faces that we see, the people who gather with us from wherever they might be. We think of those who join us in worship as those that follow Jesus Christ. Friends, the great congregation extends far beyond this table, all around the known world, throughout all times and places, that every saint and martyr who is taken from this place is united together in that eternal chorus. Could it be that when you pray before the throne of grace, you are joining that chorus? You don't pray as one. You pray with all. Our voices in harmony joined together, giving us the strength and courage we need this day to confess our sins, to recognize our weakness, to discover God's faithfulness, and to become people known by his mercy. Amy mentioned to the kids that I was going to talk about dangerous prayer, so I better live up to that promise. Prayer is not dangerous because of what God will do to you. Prayer is dangerous because it will change you. It will show you the ways in which you do not trust the one who made you, who loves you and knows you by name. I implore you, pray courageously. The one who you pray to will transform your imagination. You will understand his faithfulness, and you will discover that he is not a God of judgment, but of mercy. May that be our prayer this day and every day. May it be the prayer of all who gather and all who are joined in that great congregation. And may God receive the glory. Now and forever. Amen.